All right, very happy to be joined by our next guest, John Clayton, NFL Insider. John, thanks for being with us.
Good to be with you.
It's always good to be with you at the Combine, where we get to see you quite a bit. So let's just kind of talk about the Browns offseason. And I know it kind of started in the season with John Dorsey coming in, but now you've added Alonzo Highsmith and Elliott Wolf to that front office. What do you think of the front office the Browns have assembled?
I like it because, again, I think that it gets back to the basics of scouting and all that stuff, gets out of the numbers, and I think it gives, you know, particularly with John Dorsey, a good, solid football guy. I think they're very lucky to get Elliott Wolf and Highsmith. Again, you know, they come over from Green Bay, and of course, I mean, all they have histories together and all that stuff.
Sure.
So I think it's a good pairing, and I think it's going to be a good group. And again, I was so happy that Hugh Jackson did not lose his job, because again, I think that he's a good coach. It kind of was an unfair situation that he was in, because I mean, the talent just wasn't there for you to see the best coaching that he could do. I mean, he did the best he can under the circumstances. The circumstances weren't there to help him.
And now you have the opportunity where you have guys who kind of see the world the same way with Dorsey and Hugh to really kind of try to put that together. And obviously tons of assets going into this offseason. When you think about where the Browns have been, you know, to get names like Dorsey, Elliott Wolf, Alonzo Highsmith, and then on the coaching side to be able to bring in Todd Haley, this has to, in some ways it's kind of surprising because who would want to go to Cleveland? But on the other side, these are very qualified people who say, we want to go to Cleveland and get this right.
Well, plus in one of the bonuses of keeping Hugh is you get to keep Greg Williams.
Right.
And Greg Williams is such a good coach, and you saw he did a good job with that defense last year, in the sense that particularly you saw a lot of good things going in the front seven. Obviously, the part of the offseason is going to be trying to work on the back end of
sure.
it in the secondary. But again, it's like you can't turn things around sometimes until 3-4 years if you're trying to do a remake of the team. And obviously, the way it was done 2 years ago, it became a total remake, you know, with the 7 or 8 veterans that were let go or forced out or whatever. And so now it's a matter of, you know, kind of solving things and getting the right focus and getting everything together.
Were you surprised that Todd Haley was available as an offensive coordinator?
A little bit, yeah. But, I mean, it was such a strange year because, I mean, what is there, 17, 18 new offensive coordinators in the league? I mean, and it's so strange because we're talking about a league that has 14 coaches, head coaches, who are offensive play callers.
Right.
And so it's like, okay, so all this change when, you know, a lot of the guys that are getting head coaching jobs and, you know, opportunities have not called plays. I mean, you saw that happen a couple times so far this year. And, you know, here's Todd Haley, a great play caller, head coaching experience, you know, popping free. But, you know, you always kind of wondered at some point, you know, if there's going to be a little bit of a drift between Ben Roethlisberger and Todd Haley. And not that it really was pronounced, because I remember when the two of them got together, and understand, I covered the Steelers back when Todd was a ball boy.
Yeah.
So I kind of, you know, it's like, you know, because Todd's real strong in his opinions and Ben's real strong in his opinions. And you thought initially it was going to be a struggle. But, you know, Ben was pretty passive as far as not causing any problems. But, you know, something just didn't kind of jive. And so you could see a change was coming.
That was the number two offense in the NFL over the 6 years as he was the coordinator there. And he gets let go. And, hey, we'll take it. The
yep,
Browns
exactly,
are very happy
exactly.
to have Todd Haley come in. Free agency, and you talked about the back end of the defense. And I imagine that's going to be an area of focus for the Cleveland Browns. What are you kind of hearing about the Browns and free agency now that you've gotten into Indy? And, you know, we know at the Combine that's when – you know, talk starts happening.
Well, I mean, with $111 million of cap room, and obviously the Browns are going to spend a bunch of it, you figure that they're going to go for a cornerback, and so it's a matter which cornerback do they go for. I mean, is it going to be Malcolm Butler? Is it going to be I kind of get the feeling it's going to be more Trumaine Johnson because
right.
he's going to come in at $14 million. And, you know, you see the five teams up top with the cap room. I mean, you know, you're not going to outbid them. Now it's going to be a matter of the player is going to be comfortable in coming to the city, is going to be paying that kind of money. That we'll see, but you know, you figure the cornerback thing is the one thing that's going to be needed, and then and this may sound strange, but I think free safety, because I mean, Gabriel Peppers is a good player, but he's more of a strong safety.
Absolutely.
But what Greg Williams did is he basically said put him 30 yards back because he didn't want to see happen when he was watching the tape from the previous season when everything was being thrown deep. And he's like, no, I got to cut that off. So Peppers may not be able to make many plays, but at least he's going to stop that problem. And it did work to a certain degree. So it's like now I think, you know, getting Peppers closer to the line of scrimmage and getting a free safety out there, that could be interesting. Yeah, you know, what I wonder is that, and this may be reaching a little bit, you know, John Dorsey knows the value of a great free safety. He was
Absolutely.
There with Eric Berry. Would he consider trading for Earl Thomas?
I think anything is on the table because they want to win.
Right. And so, for example, now, you know, because Earl is going to end up being a high paid, I mean, he's $10 million right now, and he was the highest paid safety in the league.
Right.
But now, you know, his contract is a little outdated. He's going to be a free agent after this year. He's kind of talked about a holdout. I mean, could they put some kind of a deal together? Obviously, it's not going to be the first and fourth pick in the draft, but where you give a second round pick, which is a valuable second round pick, you throw in another draft choice, say a fifth or a fourth out of this year, next year, or whatever. I mean, could that be something that might be enticing, because all of a sudden you have Peppers and Earl Thomas. That's a pretty good combination.
That'd be a very good combination. Talking with John Clayton, I know you're out in Seattle. Is this something that's being talked about in Seattle, that Earl Thomas could be on the move?
He's talked about it, because, I mean, let's put it this way. And as you know, I was doing the sidelines on the opposing team sidelines on the broadcast on the Seattle Broadcasting Network. And so here I was, and it's like we're all standing down by the by the Seahawk locker room, and Earl Thomas goes over to Dallas and tells Jason Garrett, come get me. It's like, okay. And then he starts talking in the off season and starts saying, it's like, well, you know, if I don't get a contract, I'm going to hold out. I'm thinking about holding out. And it's like, well, he's the one who brought that up. Not good strategy on his part, but it does create the possibility. And remember, Earl Thomas is an unbelievable player.
Absolutely.
I mean, you're talking about he's 29 years old. He has incredible speed, and he makes up for a lot. I mean, if you're playing cover one, cover three, you're not going to have a better guy as far as fixing any problems. He gives the cornerbacks the space to do whatever they need. He's able to come up, make big hits. He flies through the air. He's a great player like that. And, you know, really, when you think about it, I mean, potential Hall of Fame type of player. Now, do the Seahawks want to give him up? No. He's too valuable to their defense. In the end of the 2016 season, he missed four games, and all of a sudden they're giving 280 yards passing a game. That's how good he can be. But if he's going to be a contract problem and they need draft choices up top, you know, it might be a consideration.
Hey, I would be interested. He sold me. Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's get Earl Thomas
but
in here.
It's talked about. Will it happen? I mean, you know, you're giving up one of the most valuable players on your defense.
In the league.
Yeah, in the league. That might not be this. And again, a guy that, you know, if his career continues three, four more years the way he's playing, he'll get Hall of Fame consideration. It's tough to get it as a safety. I mean, you know, but he'll get consideration.
Absolutely. Talking with John Clayton. John, when you think about the free agency, and you talked a little bit about the money, LaMarcus Joyner is a name, also the safety position that comes up. But it sounds like, for me, what I've been hearing here, and maybe the same, he's going to get franchised.
Yeah.
Not really available.
No, because, again, you know, they realize the value, and particularly with the trade that they made with Marcus Peters, you know, they're not going to lose Joyner. And, again, they have the choice of putting a tag on Joyner, which is going to be much less than what it would be on Sammy Watkins. And, you know, they can try to sign Sammy Watkins, but also it's like Sammy is more of a decoy in last year's offense. I mean, because, again, you know, he would go deep, but he didn't get necessarily the ball a lot. And, gee, did he complain? Well, he did in Buffalo, and he ended up tweeting out a complaint after the Seahawks game where he didn't get the ball, and he would do like 8-9 decoy routes. And so, you know, I don't know if they can get him done at a number that's going to satisfy him, but if you're going to put the franchise tag, Joyner right now is more important than Watkins. I mean, because, again, you know, they've got Cooper Kupp, who's really good.
Robert Woods
has done a good job for him.
Sure, and you look at it, too, with the franchise tag.
Yeah.
You talk to some people, that's at the top five at your position. LaMarcus Joyner, you could make the case, is actually a top five safety. You cannot make the case Sammy Watkins is a top five
receiver. No. And because what I look at with Sammy Watkins, and what you wonder about, and we'll see how this all transpires, the 2014 class was the greatest wide receiver class I've ever seen. You know, like nine number one type of wide receivers. Okay, so now he was obviously in that class, but a lot of those guys have been moved around in trades. I mean, you know, Brandon Cooks was with New England.
Yep.
I mean, Jordan Matthews ended up going to Buffalo. Sammy Watkins, you know, it's like you've got all these guys that have been kind of moving around. But the fact that they moved around tells you the teams didn't want to pay them the top franchise dollars that it was going to keep. And so does he have to take a one-year provisional deal, kind of like Alshon Jeffrey, 1 year $9 million, 1 year $10 million? Would that be he might have to do that.
That would be interesting. See, he's still only 24 years old,
still
a young guy with a lot of talent out there.
And he does get downfield well.
Yeah, yeah. And he, as you said, he opened up a lot of the underneath stuff in that offense and made also Todd Gurley out of the backfield very effective.
Mm-hmm.
When you talk about free agent wide receivers, one name that people thought would be a free agent but now isn't because he's been tagged, Jarvis Landry. What have you been hearing? Because a lot of speculation was coming to Indy that they were coming to Indy to find a buyer that they could ship Jarvis Landry to.
I mean, there's still the talk that maybe he's going to be traded. But again, if you're Miami, how do you really give him up? I mean, you know, they didn't get the benefit of the deal when they traded a fourth round pick for Jay Ajayi. Okay, it's like
that seems very interesting.
Yeah, and it's like Landry, a Pro Bowl caliber wide receiver from the 2014 class. He's very good, and it's like you want to give up one of your best players on offense. I mean, so I know that, but the weird part is, okay, so they he wanted to play for $14.5 million a year, you know, the Devontae Adams contract. And so it's like, and so, well, we can't do that. That's, you're not, he's
but
more of a slot guy.
At
and so they tacked him at 16.5. So it's like, how does that one work?
Yeah, how okay. does that? I don't know. Let's talk a little bit more about free agency, the quarterbacks. What are you hearing on potential matches for some of these big free agent quarterbacks?
Well, I mean, you know, the interesting one, kind of the sleeper in the room right now is Minnesota.
Yep.
You know, because, you know, Minnesota, now they're not going to franchise Case Keenum. I know Mike Zimmer today was talking about, you know, what's going on at the quarterback position. And it's like he really talked up Teddy Bridgewater, and he hasn't really talked up Case Keenum enough. I mean, particularly even as the season was going on. And, you know, he did say that Sam Bradford has a degenerative knee. So what you wonder about, do you pay Case Keenum, you know, $18 to $20 million, or do you just go for it? You go for Kirk Cousins. And I think there are. Now, the question is, can you outbid the Jets? Because you figure, let's say they go to $28 million. The Jets will go to $30 million they'll pay Kirk Cousins.
So the question then is, does Kirk Cousins value $2 million or the chance to go to a Super Bowl immediately?
And that, I think, is an interesting thing. And also, you know, an indoor stadium that has good receivers.
Yeah, Diggs, Thielen, Kyle Rudolph,
exactly.
Yeah, Pro Bowlers.
Yeah, exactly.
Dalvin Cook coming back. It seems to me that's a tailor-made situation. If I'm Kirk Cousins and they're giving me competitive money, I'm going to Minnesota.
Yeah,
but that's just me.
Yeah, because, again, you look at Minnesota and Jacksonville, and both teams, you know, obviously they're in, you know, top-level type of games going deep into the playoffs, but both are considered, you know, quarterbacks away with their defenses from winning a Super Bowl. Not getting to a Super Bowl, but winning a Super Bowl. So which quarterback gets you there better? Is it Case Keenum? Is it going to be Teddy Bridgewater? Is it going to be Kirk Cousins? And I would say go for Cousins.
I would say the same thing. We'll see what Kirk Cousins does. Anything that you've heard while you've been here in Indy that maybe surprises you, or any good rumors out there about maybe some free agent team matches?
Well, I mean, I like the one today where the new general manager of the Kansas City Chiefs was talking about Albert Wilson, the wide receiver, and he says that, well, what's your thoughts on bringing Albert Wilson back? And he brought up that the former offensive coordinator of the Chiefs is in Chicago right now. It's like, oh, okay, so he's going to go to Chicago. Okay, we kind of get that idea. Obviously, the A.J. McCarron thing is going to be interesting to see, you know, because I think, in Cleveland, it's like they tried to trade for him.
Sure.
The trade didn't go through. And, you know, what does A.J. want to do? Because, again, you would figure that he's got to be big in the mix for the Cleveland Browns, because, you know, if they take Sam Darnold or one of the young quarterbacks that's not going to be ready the first year, you want that experienced guy. You know, would he be willing to play for like $17, $18 million or maybe a little bit less to come to Cleveland, knowing it's only going to be a 1 or 2 year thing?
Right.
But what he gets is the base of having Hugh Jackson, who he's played the four games for, you know, working with him, along with the fact you got, you know, Todd Haley calling the plays. And it's like, you know, you'll enhance your value if you can get in there and do that.
It'll be very interesting to see how that plays out, because, you know, so many people talk about with the Browns, and still Deshaun Kizer's there, who has, I think, a lot of talent and upside, but was thrust into a very difficult situation a year ago, but is only 22. You're going to have the number one pick in the draft, most likely a quarterback there. So if you're AJ, yes, you want that opportunity to start and prove you can do it, but at the same time, you know that you are never being brought there to be the answer.
Right.
And, you know, perhaps in Arizona he could go and
sign
a longer-term deal. I think that will be a very interesting dynamic.
Yeah, but also
dynamic.
If you go to Arizona now, remembering, you know, they're going to have a lot of change. They may have to change three starting offensive linemen. And so, you know, the offensive line in the Browns right now is more settled than the Arizona Cardinals. So it's like, okay, maybe – you know, it's a little bit of a tougher task in Cleveland, but also it's not going to be the easiest challenge in Arizona, a team that's right now trying to get better. Now, again, they've got to get younger. And to get younger, that is going to be a little bit of a setback. As, you know, instead of maybe being an 8-9 win team, they may be a 6 win team, and maybe it can work out well in a couple of years. You know, but at least if you're A.J. McCarron, one, you won your grievance, and you are not a restricted free agent. You have an opportunity to hit the market at a time that, you know, a few more teams are looking for quarterbacks that are normal, than normally do. And, but also from the team standpoint, there's more quarterbacks available than I can ever remember.
Yeah, and certainly nobody at the level of Kirk Cousins has been available in a very, very long time. All right, for the Browns, I know you like Hugh, you like this front office. What at the end of the 2018 season would tell you that they're on the right path? Is it a win number? What would tell you the Browns, okay, this is where they're going, where they need to go?
Well, I mean, obviously settling the quarterback position, getting something there, trying to make sure that they upgrade the wide receiver position.
Absolutely.
Taking care of the spots on the defense. Because, again, I think, the biggest thing is that if Greg Williams can get this defense into being, like, anywhere between 18 to 15, that's going to be huge. Because now it's a matter that, it's going to be a lot of rebuilding on the offense. Not on the offensive line, but rebuilding on the offense there. And, of course, if they can do that and get to, like, 5-6 wins, then I think that's a huge jump.
Yes. 5 or 6 wins would be more than the Browns in the last 3 years combined. The way
to get 5 wins, that would be, 10 years based on the 0-1?
Yes.
You wouldn't want that.
No, you would not want that. John, thank you so much for the time. Always a pleasure to see you in Indy, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, sounds good.